Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. Don't take candy from strangers. It's a phrase many a parent has told their child. Each year in the United States, an estimated 460,000 children under the age of 18 are reported missing. And that's just those that are reported. Kidnapping can happen in a second. Camille Cupcake McKinnery is one of those missing children. Cupcake was playing outside with a friend at a birthday celebration when she suddenly disappeared, lured away by a stranger offering candy. The truth about what happened to her would soon be revealed by an examination of CCTV footage and eyewitness accounts. Cupcake was just 3 years old when she was snatched from the safety of a birthday party and taken to her death. This is Cupcake's story.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Camille McKinnery was born April 22, 2016, to parents April Thomas and Dominic McKinnery in Birmingham, Alabama. Although you will know Camille best by her nickname her father gave her from birth, Cupcake. Quote, "It's something I came up with when she came out. She was all cute and red with little brown eyes and I said, that's my Cupcake." Unquote. The young family lived close to extended family, so not only did Cupcake have her 11-year-old brother, Amiri, to play with, but when he was too cool to hang out with his baby sister, Cupcake always had a cousin by her side. Her best friend, cousin Ava, and Cupcake were inseparable. April and Dominic never had a lot of money, but they made their children's lives as experienced filled as they could. Cupcake would later be described as charming, cheerful, and cheeky. She loved exploring the world around her. She was confident and sure of herself. April saying her daughter was tough as nails, and that her stubbornness and tenacity came out around strangers.
Tell us what she's like.
Cupcake. You really won't know she like. She, well, she's not friendly. That much I do know, so.
Saturday, October 12th, 2019. April would take 3-year-old Cupcake and Amiri to Tom Brown Community Village for a birthday party for one of their cousins. This was a public housing apartment complex with 250 apartments. Now, unfortunately, this wasn't the most safest of areas, and it wasn't the kind of place you would normally host a children's party at. There was no fencing or any physical barriers that kept the children from wandering off. But it was a big family affair, with lots of kids running about and plenty of adults to supervise the organised chaos. April wasn't concerned about the safety of her children because it was family there, so she left for a couple of hours to run some errands, returning around dusk. April, spotting Amiri, and told him to go find Cupcake, that it was time to go home. But he couldn't find her, and when April went outside to where the other children were playing, there was no Cupcake. That's when April noticed her daughter's little shoes in the backyard and knew something was wrong. Quote, "I was sick to my stomach," unquote. At 8:50 p.m, a missing persons report would be filed with the Birmingham Police Department, a command post set up a couple of blocks away from where Cupcake was last seen, around 3.5 hours after the missing persons report was filed. The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency issued an Amber Alert with Cupcake's description. She was last seen wearing a pink Minnie Mouse t-shirt, leopard print shorts and no shoes. Everyone was out searching for this little girl. Residents of Birmingham and surrounding areas began holding vigils. Crime Stoppers of Metro Alabama were consistently receiving tips, but none led to Cupcake's whereabouts. Police even raiding an apartment at a complex on Jefferson Avenue after receiving a tip that Cupcake was there. But unfortunately, she was not found.
Hi everyone, we are back out here at the Tom Brown Village housing community where the search continues for missing 3-year-old Camille Cupcake McKinney. She is still missing, been missing since Saturday night. As you all know, they say that she was taken from a birthday party out here in this housing community. They have been searching night and day for this little girl. It's been focused here on in the Tom Brown Village housing community. We have the Birmingham Police. They have their mobile command center set up. A lot of agencies working out of this mobile command center. Just yesterday we saw, in addition to Birmingham Police, there was the FBI, Jefferson County EMA, the Shelby County Sheriff's Office was also out here assisting with this search. Other federal agencies, I mean, it is all hands on deck. People trying to bring home this sweet little Camille Cupcake McKinney, 3 years old. I can't even imagine.
Birmingham police went door to door at the Tom Brown Village complex, handing out flyers with Cupcake's smiling little face printed on them. Cupcake's parents spoke separately to reporters, pleading for her safe return. But like we see in so many missing children cases, especially when a small child is involved, small-town gossip took over and rumours started to spread that April and Dominic may have done something to their daughter.
How are you feeling about the father right now?
Well, right now, with the father, all that I can do is tell people to pray for him. I'm not going to bash him. I'm not going to talk bad about him. The way I feel right now, I mean, I really just don't know.
One of the most disturbing videos that I saw that I'm still trying to get over was people saying that they actually saw him with Cupcake wrapped in a sheet. Have you heard that story?
Yes, I saw it.
You saw it, okay. And when you hear something like that, like, how does that make you feel? Like, doesn't that seem a little real to you?
It's very disturbing. But right now, in this situation, it's really hard to tell who's lying and who's telling the truth. Because in a lot of situations, I have seen some people be very supportive. I've seen some people switch over and be snarky. So in a lot of cases, you know, I do believe Birmingham Police Department will get down to the bottom of this and they will solve this case.
Monday, October 14th, 2019, 2 days since Cupcake was last seen, and the situation was becoming dire. Police believed Cupcake to be abducted and they announced a $1,000 reward. Police also updated the Amber Alert to include a suspect's description. Approximately 12 p.m. on the day Cupcake went missing, surveillance footage from a nearby Shell gas station showed a man purchasing exactly $18.91 worth of candy. 5 minutes later, this man is seen approaching two 11-year-old girls who are walking to their cheer practice. This man told one of the girls, quote, "I'm looking for a girl that looks like you," unquote, and offered them some candy. The girls were obviously creeped out by this and they refused and continued on their way. But with the disappearance of Cupcake, one of the girls' mothers reported this incident to police. This man would later be identified as 39-year-old Patrick Stallworth. And based on the information they had, police would have reasonable grounds to be granted a warrant to search his apartment and cell phone. It would be what police would find in Stallworth's home that would be nothing short of shocking. And although there was nothing that could be tied back to Cupcake, Stallworth would be arrested and charged with 7 crimes, including possession of child pornography and possession with the intention to distribute child pornography. Stallworth would be held on a $500,000 bond.
The dude that just plastered on the news said they got the little girl. Him downstairs.
Okay.
Him just had a whole surprise visit.
Mm-hmm.
Him got a whole lot of company over here house.
A whole lot
of company.
He got a surprise party.
I hope they do find the little girl. I hope they do find the little girl. I know they got him, goddammit. They found his ass.
They got his ass.
My man too little. And if you playing with these goddamn children, you was a motherfucker. Him downstairs though.
And I'm upstairs.
Me too. I hope that baby safe. I know he good and safe. His ass got a whole lot of protection down there.
Mm.
Everybody that's just not tuning in, y'all know that's the Amber Alert again.
Yeah. What'd he say?
That's the same Amber Alert. We gonna find that goddamn little girl.
It's good, but it'll say whether she been found or not.
No, they ain't brought him out yet.
It sound like they coming.
Come on, they coming out there.
I ain't tell you what to meet.
Thank you.
That's him, y'all.
That's him, y'all. They got him.
They got him.
Where's that baby?
Where's that baby is what I want to know.
Right.
It's raining and I'm in screaming.
Well, where that baby? Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they do with the baby. Yeah, they got him. They just walked him out. That was him. They just walked out.
Nah, they ain't let nobody come up here. We can't even leave.
They got him in the
line
right here. You can get a
good shirt
right here.
Bro. They got him in the what? Where
you
go? I'm staying. Oh, I got a good shot. I got a good room. They walking. Mm-hmm.
That's what I
want to
know.
They got him. They ain't brought the baby out yet. They ain't brought the baby. I don't know if the baby. That's the girlfriend. The baby ain't even with them. They ain't even brought the baby out. Then they just gonna come up in, goddamn, lay down and chill like everything gravy. I don't know what happened. I just had a whole conversation with the dude. He walked outside. He said, man, you seen the news? Hell yeah, I seen the news. Bitch, you be still. You just be still, nigga, till we get this motherfucking baby together. Alright, no, that shit, man, that shit ain't finna fly up here. We don't play that type game. Damn, they ain't got the baby. The baby wasn't there, y'all. The baby wasn't there. They got them, but the baby not there. They got him, but they ain't got the baby.
But this gas station interaction would not only have him arrested, but also make him a key person of interest in Cupcake's disappearance. Police interviewed the other children at the party that afternoon, and children all mentioned the same man who was there in a dark blue Toyota Sequoia passing out candy. The children said the man had bad teeth. His description matched that of the surveillance footage at the gas station, but also a woman who the children described as a chunky black woman. And this was the same woman who was seen in the vehicle with Stallworth at the gas station. 29-year-old Derek Irisha Brown would too be arrested for violating her probation and brought in for questioning. Brown had previously been charged with kidnapping in 2018. CPS had removed Brown's 4 children from her care due to a relative reporting her for putting her child in a washing machine as punishment. So CPS placed these children into this relative's care. But Brown would then go to this relative's home and abduct the children at knife point, taking the police on a reckless car chase which ended when Brown crashed her car into a lamppost with her children inside. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but she bonded out, and at the time of Cupcake's disappearance, she was awaiting trial for this incident. Both Stallworth and Brown would be interviewed 3 times each after their arrests. During every police interview, they would deny any knowledge or involvement with the missing 3-year-old.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
October 17th, 2019, 5 days after Cupcake went missing. Police had the people they were sure had taken Cupcake into custody, but they had no idea where the little girl was. Police would release more surveillance footage, this time showing Cupcake, in the hopes someone would come forward with a missing piece of the puzzle. In this surveillance footage, a man walks by and drops some candy. This attracts some small children who the man strikes up a conversation with. Two of these children would later be identified as Cupcake and her best friend and cousin, Ava. A short time later, Cupcake is seen walking off with the man. And although the police were certain this man was Stallworth, the footage wasn't clear enough to charge him with anything. October 21st, 2019. Under the growing pressure from police for answers, Brown decided she wanted to confess, and it would be very damning against Stallworth, minimising her role as much as possible. According to Brown, she and Stallworth had been together all day, including spending time at the Tom Brown Community Village. But she allegedly was not aware that Stallworth had abducted Cupcake until they stopped at a convenience store on the way home. However, that part of the story already doesn't line up with the surveillance footage, because when she is captured going inside to pay for gas and a soda, she doesn't look like someone who just found out there was an abducted little girl in the car. Regardless, they then continued on with a missing girl to their home at Woodside Condominiums in Centre Point. According to Brown, that night after they came home, she went outside to smoke a cigarette. She admitted to have used methamphetamines and trazodone that day. And trazodone is a powerful sedative used to treat anxiety and depression. Brown thought she was having a bad trip because she saw some shadows coming toward her. She decided she wanted to sleep it off and went to bed. At some point during the night, Brown woke up and saw Stallworth kneeling in front of the little girl, forcing her to perform a sex act on him. Brown said she didn't try to stop him and simply went back to bed, not waking until the next morning. When Brown asked Stallworth about the girl the next morning, he pretended not to know what she was talking about. Stallworth then left the room, and when he returned, he was holding what looked like a heavy trash bag with a small pink shirt hanging out of the top. And we know that Cupcake was last seen wearing a pink Minnie Mouse t-shirt. Stallworth then asked Brown where the lighter fluid was, but they didn't have it anymore. They'd left it at a previous apartment. Stallworth then left the apartment with the trash bag. Brown said she never saw the trash bag nor Cupcake again. But investigators knew that Brown knew more. They knew that Brown could lead them to where Cupcake was now. They pushed her and interrogated her, until Brown gave up the location where they could find Cupcake's remains.
Good evening. I wish I had all of you gathered here with good news. I wish I could share a high five or some other type of celebratory salutation, but I cannot. It happens not to be that type of press conference. I brought you here today because the Birmingham Police Department, along with the FBI, have located the remains of a 3-year-old child who we believe to be Camille Cupcake McKinney. Her remains were found inside of a dumpster, and they were recovered inside of a landfill here in Birmingham. We had been detaining all of the trash being collected from one area, and we found it this evening remains of a child that we believe to be Camille. As all of you know, Camille was last seen at approximately 8:30 p.m. on Saturday, October 12th, in the Tom Brown housing community while attending a party. We issued an Amber Alert after that, but our investigators, along with the FBI, have worked tirelessly, 24 hours a day, to locate this young child and to bring her back home, and to hold those accountable who were involved in her disappearance, in her kidnap, and ultimately her demise. Tomorrow we will be screening warrants for kidnapping and capital murder against Patrick Stallworth and Derek Arisha Brown. Brown still remains in custody. Stallworth was taken into custody after we placed the last pieces of the puzzle that we've been working on for quite some time to make sure that we had all of the evidence that we needed to bring them into custody. As you know, we located the Toyota Sequoia, with the beige trim. And we also were able to locate Brown and Stallworth soon thereafter, based upon information and evidence that we had already obtained at the scene. Locating the remains were the last pieces of the puzzle that we needed to bring the capital murder charges and the kidnap charges against the individuals, which we will seek warrants for on tomorrow. I want to thank the public for all of the information, all of the tips, all of the video, and their cooperation with this police department during the time of this investigation.
Yeah.
More importantly, I want to thank the FBI, National Exploited and Missing Children's, Jefferson County EMA, Governor Kay Ivey, who offered so much for a warrant, for a reward, Crime Stoppers, generous donors who stepped forward, who just wanted to see this young child come home, volunteers who came out on a Sunday evening, who went through tons of brush, downstreams, in water, and in trash just to find this young child. Birmingham Fire and Rescue, who I can't truly thank enough for all they've done. There were a ton of people who were involved who wanted to see this young child come home. But I hope that this message is not lost. I hope this message is not lost to young mothers, to grandmothers, and to the entire Birmingham community. It only takes a split second. We can no longer assume that everyone is a part of the village that's trying to raise the child. We cannot take those things for granted. We must work incredibly hard to do more to save the children in this community. This young child has touched the nation. This young child has definitely sent a message across the nation that we all must be diligent to protect them all. I'll turn it over to Mayor Randall Woodfin for his remarks.
I think in this moment, in our city, for our city right now, it is very hard. Taking in the news that the police chief has said about what's happened to Camille McKinney, affectionately known as Cupcake. But I think it's the hardest for April Thomas, Camille's mother, Dominique McKinney, Camille's father, who have received this information, and I know without a doubt are in tears right now. But they're not in tears alone. They're not crying alone. They're not mourning alone. Tonight, our entire city is mourning. Camilla's gone. Ripped away from her family. The pain her family is enduring is unimaginable. As Chief has said, and I think I need to make this point, perpetrator of this crime will be brought to justice and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But tonight, right now, and this at this moment that we're standing in, I ask one thing of this community: not to take sides, not to finger point, but if there is any finger pointing to do, it's only at the perpetrator. When we kidnap an innocent 3-year-old, I ask every member of this community to stand in solidarity beside this broken family. Over the last 9 days, we have been in tune to what's happened here, but more now than ever, this family needs us all. And so tonight, Birmingham, we mourn as one. Please uplift this family. Uplift your own families. Hold your loved ones a little tighter. To the family of Camille, I speak on behalf of all the citizens and residents of the city, speaking directly to you to let you know that your pain, your grief, your tears, your anger, your sadness, your many questions, your pain is not ignored. Your cries for help have not gone unanswered and will not go unanswered. This is a sad day for Camille's family. This is a very sad day for our entire community. And I ask that we all, in solidarity, lift Camille's entire family up in prayer. 3-year-old has been snuffed out from her family. And as I think about my own nieces, as many of you all think about your own daughters, your own granddaughters, a year from now, she's supposed to be prepping for pre-K. This is tough. It's a tough moment for our city. Tough moment for this family. I want to turn it back over to Chief.
You know, I want to thank the men and women of the Birmingham Police Department for all of their hard work. The detectives on this case have worked relentlessly, 24 hours a day, and we've maintained our command post because it was our goal and our hope to bring this young baby home. I'll open the floor for any questions you might have before we end the press conference.
Chief, you said you have retaken Stallworth into custody, is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you tell us about what time and where he was arrested?
We took him into custody maybe about an hour ago.
Was there ever a motive discussed at all, or did they ever mention anything as to, you know, why this happened, I guess, from questioning Everett at any point?
I can tell you what we believe at this point. We believe that this was something that they thought about and acted upon, and they saw an opportunity to take a young child, which they did, and our further investigation will reveal whatever actions were taken after that.
Do you know the timeline of when exactly this might have?
Timeline of what? Which particular part?
How long Camille may have been in captivity if she was kidnapped and to the point of her being found?
Well, we're not going to go that deep into our investigation. That's something that will come later.
Chief, is there a reason why Camille was targeted when we saw in the video there were two children playing at the time when you released the second set video, when the police department released the video?
Well, you have to watch the video in its entirety. You'll see that one kid is ahead of the other, and we are unable to determine now why one was taken over the other, or if one was went out to the car and just made themselves more of an easy target.
Chief, the man in the video with the limp, that is not Stallworth, or is that Stallworth?
That's a very good question.
Chief, are you looking to arrest more people? I know you said earlier in another press conference you were looking at more persons of interest. Are you still looking at more people or more people to arrest?
We feel that our investigation from the start has led us into a pretty affirmative direction. However, we've always maintained to keep all options open. As she mentioned about the persons in the video, it was our goal at that time to identify everyone in the video to see if they can provide more information to us. If one individual, you'll notice the one individual that goes by initially and looks back, we wanted to get more information from him. We are not going to detail every part of our investigation by identifying the folk in the video at this time.
As the mayor alluded to finger pointing and requesting that it not be done, can you now confirm that there was indeed no relationship to the suspects and Camille's family?
Okay. From what we've been able to tell, there's no connection or relationship between the individuals and Camille's family. I know that a number of people have asked and commented about where's the mother, why isn't she out here appealing to the public about the safe return of her child. That was our call not to put the mother out there. It was our call not to put the family out there. We'd asked everyone to remain back and allow us to do our job. This is not a movie, this is reality. And at that time, we just did not see a benefit of throwing the mother out in front of the camera when we had very strong leads. We knew exactly what we were doing, and we knew the pieces of the puzzle that we were trying to put together.
Chief, you took the unusual step of taking the microphone a few days ago, speaking really directly to people who might have known this. It was really almost like I'm talking to you moment. Was the current suspect in your mind at that time?
Okay, we have to keep our options open when we're conducting an investigation. Number one, we have principals that we feel are definitely involved, but we don't know if there were additional people involved or if someone else was holding her. So yes, there was an appeal to anyone else who may have been involved.
Where exactly was this dumpster in Hanfield?
The dumpster was located out not too far from the apartment building where we located.
Chief, I apologize if you mentioned this earlier. What led your police officers to that dumpster? Was it a tip or was it a routine search that allowed you to come across their
rooms? We have been doing a number of routine searches throughout the city, and this was one of those routine searches that we had been doing. Also, we had been essentially going through about 12 tons of trash collected in and around the area for several days.
So how close to a landfill was it? Was it you said the dumpster was near a landfill?
No. The dumpster was taken to the landfill.
Okay.
How long did you hold?
Thank you so much. We really appreciate all of your questions, but we're going to end our press conference right now. And thank you guys for coming out. We thank you for your responsible reporting and keeping her name out of the news media and doing everything that you can to try to bring this young child home. You have to recognize this is a very difficult time for her family. It is my prayer that the city of Birmingham will remain in prayer with her family, and we will do what we can to honor the life of this young child, how very short it was. And we thank you so much, Missy. Thank you.
October 22nd, 2019, 10 days after Cupcake's abduction. Birmingham Police Chief Patrick Smith made a statement to the media confirming they found the remains of Camille Cupcake McKinnery, that she had been found in a dumpster in an apartment building in Centrepoint, the same apartment building where Stallworth and Brown were arrested. This fucking monster used this little girl and threw her away like a piece of garbage, like the piece of garbage he is. Police Chief Smith also announced the pair had been officially charged with kidnapping and capital murder. It would be the FBI Special Agent Stanley Ruffin who found the little girl. Special Agent Ruffin had been part of a larger team assigned to search landfill where trash was dumped from local apartments. He initially thought what he found was a doll and had to take a moment to process what he was seeing. This was an agent with 26 years' experience who would later admit he'd seen a lot of things throughout his career. However, this affected him more than anything, and he would retire shortly after. The medical examiner determined cause of death was asphyxia by suffocation. Cupcake had a contusion to her head, swelling on the side of her face that could be associated with blunt force trauma, an injury which could be the result of the little girl's head being pressed down against a hard surface. Drugs also may have played a role in Cupcake's death. Toxicology tests found toxic levels of trazodone and methamphetamines in her system. And given the levels of these drugs that were found in Cupcake's system, she would have had to ingest the drugs herself, not just been exposed. Due to decomposition, it was almost impossible to determine if any sexual abuse had taken place. However, based on Brown's statement and evidence found inside the apartment, investigators believed Cupcake was subjected to physical and sexual abuse. Stallworth's timeline of events after they returned to the apartment differs greatly to that given by Brown earlier, which honestly isn't surprising. These two are quick to turn on each other. However, I do believe the truth lies somewhere in the middle, and both had a hand in what ultimately happened to Cupcake. According to what Stallworth said happened that night after they returned to the apartment, he said he left Brown there for a short time while he went back out to a Chevron gas station, where he bought an energy drink and a pill for sexual dysfunction. And this is supported by CCTV footage. When he returned to the apartment, he found Brown sitting on a sofa with Cupcake next to her. He claims this is the first time he knew Cupcake was there. Brown told him she wanted to keep the child. Stallworth then alleges Brown insisted he, quote, do something sexual, unquote, to the little girl, which Stallworth, being a man of high moral standard, refused to, and went outside to smoke a cigarette. When he came back inside, he found Brown with her hands over Cupcake's nose and mouth until she, quote, went to sleep, unquote. Stallworth claimed Brown gave the girl a bath at some point after removing her clothes and her hair bows, and he went to bed at this time. When he woke the next morning, Brown was with him in bed and Cupcake was gone. Stallworth pleaded not guilty, but the evidence was damning and didn't support his timeline of events. Under little Cupcake's fingernails was his DNA, scratch marks that matched that on Stallworth's chest, evidence of this sweet baby fighting an impossible fight to get her attacker to stop. In the apartment, investigators found a plastic covering for a mattress, kind of what you would find when you first buy a mattress. This plastic covering was still on a mattress in the living room of the apartment. It was covered in blood. Forensic testing showed a mixture of DNA belonging to Cupcake, Stallworth and Brown, which to me shows both Stallworth and Brown were equally involved with what happened to Cupcake. December 2021. A Jefferson County grand jury indicted Stallworth and Brown on state charges of capital murder under the age of 14 and capital murder during a kidnapping. Stallworth and Brown were also indicted on federal charges of kidnapping and conspiracy to kidnap a minor. The judge stating, quote, "It is clear that one or both of them sexually abused this child and went to dispose of her body. Neither came forward. They could have easily went to law enforcement," unquote. The judge deemed they were working in tandem and that there was more than enough evidence for this case to go to criminal trial. November 14, 2022. Derek Brown would be the first to go to trial on the federal charges for two counts of kidnapping, the defence successfully arguing for a change of venue, moving the trial from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa in an effort to avoid juror bias. To the majority male jury, Assistant United States Attorney Brittany Byrd told the Court of Cupcake, quote, "She needed help. She needed rescuing, but she was killed and thrown away," unquote. During the week-long trial, jurors were shown Cupcake's remains. Due to the graphic nature of these photos, they were only shown for 3 seconds each. But even that long, jurors were visibly shaken and elected to take a short break afterward. 3 days later, on November 17, 2022, jurors took just over an hour to return their verdict. Brown was found guilty of kidnapping and conspiracy to kidnap a minor. And as it was determined Cupcake's kidnapping resulted in her death, Derek Brown received an automatic life sentence. October 3, 2022. It was Stallworth's turn to face the federal charges. His jury was majority women, who heard the testimony of more than 20 witnesses and viewed more than 100 pieces of evidence, including a text message Stallworth sent admitting guilt 10 days after Cupcake was found. Quote, "I'm sorry I did this. It was an accident. That poor baby's family," unquote. And a police interview where Stallworth told detectives, quote, "I may have raped her, but I didn't kill her. She did it," unquote, referring to Brown. Stallworth would also be found guilty, and he was sentenced on March 3, 2023. He was sentenced to life imprisonment on both counts, terms that would be served concurrently. Stallworth did not address the court before sentencing. However, at her trial, Brown did. She read a statement apologising to the McKinnery family, quote, "Lord knows if I could go back in time to that terrible day and change the outcome, I would," unquote. Cupcake's mother, April, gave her victim impact statement, sobbing throughout, quote, "How could you look at someone so precious and take her away from love and life and do something so brutal? Life and death will never be enough for what you did," unquote. Stallworth and Brown are still awaiting the capital murder charges. They will go to trial in state court in early 2024. The state have made it clear they'll be seeking the death penalty for these charges. The sad thing about this, I don't know how crimes like this can be avoided. There are always going to be monsters in this world, evil predators waiting in the shadows to snatch children away from what should be safe environments. As children, we are taught to not take candy from strangers and to be wary of what I tell my children are tricky adults, because adults would not ask children for help unless they had a nefarious motive. But Cupcake was only 3 years old, still not old enough to be consciously wary of adults. She would have been still so trusting of everyone. Even a child like Cupcake, who was not fond of people she didn't know, it would have been easily overthrown by every child's greatest weakness, candy. Cupcake was a sweet, beautiful, very much loved blessing to everyone who knew her. And this was recognised when more than 1,200 people attended Cupcake's funeral at New Beginnings Christian Ministry to mourn and say goodbye to Camille Cupcake McKinnery. 2 weeks and 1 day after she was killed, she was transported to her final resting place at Elwood Cemetery in a white horse-drawn carriage. Cupcake's mother, April, described her daughter as her shining light, and her death had dimmed her world forever. Quote, "It's rough. I have good days and I have bad days. I can't wake up to her smiling at me or wake up to her hugs and kisses. It's rough." Unquote.
It's going to be spring break and summer, you know, and I feel like our kids shouldn't be afraid to play. So, I mean, I feel like during her birthday, because it's spring break, you know, educate. You know, I just want to educate them on stranger danger awareness, you know, to make sure this don't happen again, so our kids can be safe and let them know that people like that are not allowed in our communities. I mean, sometimes it's like
reliving again. Like, I'm reliving it over again. And, you know, the pain of seeing the other parent is like, you know, I can imagine it because I just lived it. I'm still living this nightmare. So, you know, it hurts to see that the community still, the community, you know, we got to stand strong. And the only way we can fix this is if we get together and we do it ourselves. Community, you know, back to old Southern hospitality. Neighbors, you know, we're more than just neighbors, we're family.
What's your day-to-day life now?
I mean, it's rough. I mean, I have good days. I have bad days. But, you know, it'll never be the same again. You know, I can't wake up to her smiling at me or waking me up, her hugs, her kisses. So, you know, it's rough. Yeah, I get through it just God.
A lot of prayer.
Yeah.
And the praying family, and even the community. How do you feel about that? There's, I think the last time I was here, the church, they were donated like food and clothing. They were singing outside. Other organizations. How does that make you feel that there's a part of the community that can, not even the community, the state?
I'm very grateful, you know. They let me know that, you know, people care, you know, about what happened. And, you know, all that stuff, it's nice. And, you know, but it's the fact of what we're going to do to prevent this from happening. You know, like, even though you get those donations or gifts, it's like, okay, it still doesn't bring our kids together. It still doesn't make the community better. So it's like, I'd rather see more events towards trying to push things to be better, education for our children, or fun, safe events for our kids to be able to go to and enjoy themselves without someone being shot or kidnapped or hurt.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. It's beyond time. Would you say that because of what happened, now there's more of a push, or was this kind of already in your head before when you watched the news or when you saw things happen in the community? Was that in your head before, or is this because of what personally?
Well, you know, a lot of people was asking me, you know, her birthday coming up, and I guess, like, the more and more I've seen, you know, been seeing the news and it constantly happening, you know, not just here, but a lot of places, and I was like, well, Cupcake's birthday is spring break, and kids, you know, that's where they're going to be, at home, and it's going to be the summertime. So, I mean, our kids, they're going to be playing. They're going to be at home where they're comfortable at. And I feel like every kid deserves to be comfortable playing outside their home. So I was like, for her birthday party, I feel like the theme should be Stranger Danger Awareness.
Are you expecting a lot of folks to, I guess, participate or to be with what you're doing, what you're trying to do?
Honestly, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it ain't about how many people come. It's just, this is something that I want to do for the kids. You know, so I hope, you know, hopefully, you know, people bring their kids out. But it's just something that I want to do for the kids and to celebrate for her birthday every year. It's just Stranger Danger Awareness, just education.
You'll be on that day, on April 22nd?
I'm not really sure yet. I got to see.
It's still in the early stages.
It's still in the plan. That's just the first thing I thought about.
Yeah. What? Where are we at in investigation? Where's your head at with that and court and all that stuff? Are you kind of staying a little bit away from it now, or are you actively involved wanting to get answers?
I mean, of course, what parent don't want answers? But right now, I mean, I don't know anything about where they're going at with the investigation right now. But, I mean, what parent don't want answers?
How do you feel about some of the naysayers of people on social media as far as, you know, I'm not necessarily clearing your name, but folks that don't understand where you're coming from, what would you want to say?
Well, I mean, some people never understand until it's their family, their friends. All that I can say is, you know, before you speak on someone, you know, learn the real story, you know, learn the actual facts. Just pray for someone. Don't always give your opinion, because just like you're giving your opinion, you can be living in that person's shoes. And you wouldn't want nobody to do that to you. So just pray for people. You know, stop giving your opinion, because your words hurt just as much as physical violence. Words hurt.
What happens now? Is it continuing push into stranger danger awareness? I mean, what happens now? Where's your head at now?
Yes. I really want to push forward because it just, yes, because I don't think I can see another child go through that again, being somewhere that's comfortable and someone come in intruding on it. And, you know, it just didn't violate me and my family. It violated the community. It violated the city. It violated everyone. So, yeah, I mean, that should be pushed. I mean, I know they push it at school, but, you know, it's up to the parents in the community to push it as well.
Do you feel like you got all the answers that you needed? Do you feel like police got everything that they got to I guess, make their final, you know?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it ain't the answers that, you know, I wanted. You know, I would give anything if she would have came home, but yes. And I'm grateful they did got the answer, because I could be out here like another parent not knowing or wondering, what is she? So, yes.
Do you think, though, too, that it might bring you more, I mean, well, comfort or peace knowing that, say, for instance, if, you know, parents are coming out and they are learning and just kind of seeing parents and children interacting with this stranger dinner, so what you're trying to bring, would that bring more comfort and peace to you, just knowing that, that people are listening to you, you have a voice? Would that bring, what does that do for you?
Yes, it would bring, like, just knowing that the community is, you know, coming out with this education. Yes, I mean, I feel like, you know, more kids will be more aware now. You know, okay, mommy, I see a strange truck. They keep passing by, slowing down. Let me go tell my mom. Okay, mom might call the police. We can save someone's life, even if it might not even be that. It might not even be a perpetrator, but it'll still, you know, it could either push a perpetrator away, but, you know, it'll let people know that, like I said, they're not welcome here.
Seems like you're just really, you're tough, and then like I said, you're a strong woman to deal with something like this, and there's only a handful of parents that have really dealt with this. There's a lot of missing cases. There's a lot of families that don't really get the end result, and I just commend you, you know, for that. Getting to Cupcake, I guess, what was the last, if you remember, what was she like? I mean, folks that didn't know the three-year-old, you know, that didn't know your girl, what was she? Because we see the pictures and we see the smiles. Just describe her.
She was silly. Like you said, she was always smiling. I can't think of not one day she ain't never smiled. She was, spicy, very spicy.
And where'd she get that from? Was it the grandma or was it the mama? I don't know.
Yeah, she was. It was just always a joy. It was always something funny or something. It was never a dull day around Cupcake. Never. I can't think of never a dull day. She what kept me going, and she was also the boss of the house.
Oh, so she was the one running things.
Yes.
Okay. when you see her picture now, I'm sure like every day before you go to work, as soon as you walk in the door, you see this over here. What goes through your mind?
I mean, sometimes when I wake up, it's like, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes it's like it's a dream. Sometimes I wake up, it ain't real. But it's like sometimes when I see the pictures, it's like a reminder that this is reality. And it, you know, and it hurts because that's a tough reality to have to live with every day, knowing that monsters, you know, changed my life forever.
Getting back to just what you want to do, if you can just kind of map it out. I know we're still in the beginning stages of what you want to do, but how would you, right now, like, give me the when, where, how, if you had a magic wand, if you had your way. Where would you want this event to be at, or how would you want it to be done?
Well, right now, I'm not really sure. I want to say, like, you know, over here in the Avondale community. I mean, I know that's where it happened at, And then I'm not sure yet about location, but I mean, I know I wanted to be a birthday party, you know, something where the kids can have fun, or maybe it could be something like where the kids can do like a, every year they can do a, what is it, the identikit when they do fingerprints and take a picture, and you know, that's something they can do every year just in case something like this happens, you know, just education.
April is planning a foundation in Cupcake's memory to educate other families so that they don't experience the loss that her family has. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the case we discussed today, or any case we talk about on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Twitter, search lives_stolen, or on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.